Here comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
It feels so great to be back. I miss this game so much. Just feel alive, man. I feel like, you know, my life's getting back in order, and I'm just extremely grateful to be back here on this platform.
You had already been in camp preparing for Daniel Cormier. When he was injured, Ovin St. Preux stepped up for the challenge. Give us your thoughts on taking this fight and what Ovin St. Preux means to you as a challenger.
I've been working extremely hard for the last 7-8 months. I'm in great shape. You know, I've fought many great southpaw fighters before. Lyoto Machida, I think, is one of the greatest strikers in light heavyweight history, southpaw fighter. And so far, I've finished every southpaw I've ever faced. And so taking that into consideration, you know, and being in such great shape, I said, you know what, why not? And as far as Ovince, I think he's a great opponent. You know, a lot of people look at Ovince as this guy who is so new in the game, but, you know, this guy actually has a lot more fights than I do. You know, he had 10 amateur fights and 19 wins, 7 losses, so he actually has a lot more experience than me. So I got a big challenge ahead of me to fight this guy, and I'm taking him extremely seriously, and I believe I'm going to get this victory.
Now, Ovince, it's been a pleasure watching you grow and learn inside the octagon, and we knew that a title fight was inevitable. It was going to happen one day. For it to happen like this, on short notice, against John Jones, give us your thoughts on what it was like to receive that call and what this fight means to you.
I mean, the call was a blessing within itself. You know, I tell everybody that, you know, at one point in time, you know, John was given an opportunity, and he capitalized on that opportunity. And I'm doing the same thing that he's doing, too. You know, I'm given an opportunity, and I'm taking full advantage of it.
John, if you can address what it feels like to be stripped of this title, to have so much time off, and what that has done to motivate you and mature you as a man and as a fighter in preparation for this fight.
You know, the biggest thing this last year has done to me, for me, is it has allowed me to be appreciative again. And to get it all taken away, it definitely humbled me a lot. You know, it makes me feel reborn to have everything taken away. And I want it back. Not only do I want it back, but I want to do things better than I did it in the past.
You're listening to Sports Overnight Weekend.
It's time now for the Combat Sports Update, brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or at WBOboxing.com. Take it away, Taco Man.
Great, we're talking MMA in this segment. Of course, Glover Teixeira, the man from Down Under, man, Brazil. And this guy can punch. He broke a friend of mine's face. I kid you not. I'm talking about Kyle Kingsbury. This guy can really punch tonight. He took out Rashad Evans in the very first round. Zach, Rashad Evans hasn't shown much fire in his, hasn't shown much snap in his step in a long time. He sort of lost like all his motivation and confidence once he faced Ron John Jones, didn't he?
Yeah, that fire got extinguished tonight, courtesy of Glover Teixeira right hand.
Well, lights out, but Teixeira, you know, Teixeira's the best. He might be pound for pound the best puncher at 205. I mean, he punches guys, he breaks their face.
I'd say that either him or Rumble Johnson, which I would love to see that fight next. That seems like the most logical fight next.
Interesting. A Cub Swanson was a winner underneath. It was like 10 fights on this card. Of course, last week they were in Croatia. I'm talking about the USC. The USC making their rounds. Of course, John Jones and St. Preux, that's going to go down the 23rd straight up. Pretty big fight, but St. Preux looks like a mark here, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I don't think that fight's going to sell nearly as well as the Cormier fight would have sold.
Okay, and for Beast Bernoulli, going to defend the World Heavyweight Championship down there in Brazil. You know, I really was of the opinion that he was going to become a superstar, but because Cain Velasquez sort of pulled out, it sort of robbed him of his day in the sunshine. Didn't it to an extent?
Yeah, it did. But Cain pulling out of fights, I mean, that should be his nickname, I think.
Oh, okay. All right. Dominic Cruz, of course, coming back. The UFC bantamweight champion coming back and taking care of the kid from Sacramento, California. Of course, the stablemate Uriah Faber. And Uriah Faber is going to take on Dominic Cruz underneath Luke Rockhold and Chris Weidman. Dominic Cruz sort of dominated Uriah Faber the last time out, didn't he?
Actually, I mean, I thought the fight was pretty close last time, and the first fight Uriah Faber won, so it makes sense from that perspective. I mean, just going in, it seems like Dominic Cruz should be favored because Uriah Faber hasn't really looked quite as good in his past few fights, but at the end of the, I mean, I don't know, it's an interesting fight, and it's not the usual UFC rematch that seems pointless. I think there's actually a point in this one.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the $64,000 question here, okay? How in the hell can Uriah Faber make 135 pounds?
I really don't know. I mean, he looks, between fights, sometimes he looks like he's about 180. I mean,
or more.
Cage side. So I don't know how he squeezes down to that. These guys just cut so much weight.
Okay, Luke Rockhold and Chris Weidman. Luke Rockhold looks just too big, and I think he's a big light heavyweight. He's too big to fight heavyweight. But Chris Weidman, too big to fight light heavyweight, but he's a big middleweight. He's got the size advantage over Chris Weidman, and Chris Weidman was thought to be untouchable going in there. Why did Weidman fail so miserably against Luke Rockhold?
He hung in with him for the first few rounds, but, I mean, he just tried to strike with a better striker. He tried to kick. He threw some lazy kick against an experienced kickboxer like that, and that's how you get caught. And he got busted up in that fight, and I think Rockhold's definitely favored for the rematch.
Yo, Zach, I got to chime in here. The big story earlier this year was, you know, Ronda Rousey losing. What's the deal with her? I haven't heard her name in a while. We got Jon Jones coming back. Rousey's probably one of the other more polarizing figures. What's her deal? Where's she at?
Well, she's supposed to fight Misha Tate. They don't really have that date completely finalized yet, but that's supposed to be the next fight. She's already beaten Misha Tate twice, so this is a better matchup for her than Holly Holm, because I don't think that she could really beat Holly Holm. But that's what's supposed to be next. I don't really like her mental state. I mean, Misha Tate is the right opponent for her to fight. I think she still could win that fight. But I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how she comes back, because she was like suicidal after losing to Holly Holm. And that's never really a good look for a fighter to have lost and to have been invincible like that. It's hard to come back from that.
Cain Velasquez has a date coming up soon, doesn't he?
Yeah, he has some rehab days coming up.
is it because they just train too hard down there in Silicon Valley? You know, Kyle Kingsbury's been on, he's part of that stable, the American Kickboxing Academy stable. He says the guys just don't know when to say no. I knew when to say no. I told my mother no one night when we were doing road work, and she left me 5 miles from the house.
Yeah, I think you definitely got to balance that. You don't want to run yourself into the ground. You got to be, you don't want to overtrain for a fight. That's just as bad as undertraining.
You tune to the Sports Byline Broadcast, and we're crossing a little USC. Of course, USC 197 upcoming next week. Jon Jones coming back. Of course, Daniel Cormier pulling out. Alistair Overeem, a drug abuser in the past as far as steroids and Flintstone vitamins are concerned. He's going to take on Andre Arlovski. They're fighting over there in the Netherlands. You know what that means? Dana White's going to have some Lebanese hash.
That certainly would appear to be the case, and the fighters might be indulging in that as well.
And after the fights with Joe Rogan talks boldly about it. Joe Rogan says this is a trip to heaven for him.
Joe Rogan, I don't know if you've ever seen his stand-up comedy, but he's a funny guy. I like him more as a stand-up comedian than as a commentator. He can be a little annoying as a commentator for the UFC.
All right, last question on the UFC. UFC 200, of course, July the 9th, the big international fight week in Las Vegas. There'll be all kinds of cards surrounding that. But Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz, how does Conor McGregor win this fight?
He's really got to pace himself. I mean, that's the key for him. And definitely don't try to take it to the ground again, because that did not work in his favor too well. He's got to pace himself. He's got to keep his hands up, not be dropping his hands like he did. And he's got to take Diaz seriously. I mean, he can't afford to not take him seriously. I kind of think Conor McGregor is the type of fighter that takes all his opponents seriously. But at the same time, I think he just left himself too vulnerable in that fight.
Let me tell you how money talks around here. I've been bragging about Nick Diaz being the, you know, I think the best bodyguards in the entire world. Cadwallader over here has been making calls to Stockton, California. I guess he's trying to get them as well. I mean, money goes, you wouldn't believe how money's just ruining the situation around here, Zach. I can't explain this enough to you. I really can't. We're going to have to go to a commercial break, but money, just like politics, money is ruining politics. Money is ruining me. You're tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Of course, all across America, I am the Taco Man, Johnny Taco News Grill. I'm joined by my all-stars, my co-stars, my guys. I'm talking about Zach Attack Young and, of course, Dominic Cadwallader Jimenez. They'll be telling me some things I don't know after the break. We'll clean things up, talk a little sports, and have a little comedy. We'll have some fun. The bottom line is, you've enjoyed us. We've enjoyed you. We thank you so much. One segment to go here on Sports Byline, Sports Overnight America, the only live show in the continental USA as I speak. This is the Taco Man, live from San Francisco.